Well, a few weeks ago, I saw a little banner ad on a website that Arsenio Hall is coming back to our neck of the woods. He's going to be up at the Silver Reef Casino in Ferndale on July 11th. And I said, we have to get him back on because when he was on with us about a year ago, he was just quite simply one of the most entertaining, fun, energetic guests we've ever had. So let me welcome back to the show Arsenio Hall. Good to talk to you again, Arsenio.
DM, what's up, dog? Good afternoon to you.
Here's what I've learned.
Wait. Okay. First of all, you just did the worst thing you could do to me. You just put the bar so high.
Yes.
He was a great guest, and we got to have him back. Now, how can I live up to that intro, dog?
Because I know that you can and will, so I wouldn't challenge you if I thought you weren't going to be able to live up to it. But here's what I've learned, Arsenio. Talk show hosts, people who have been talk show hosts, tend to be great guests because over the years, you had people who would just come on and they had nothing to say and they thought that their boring personality would just carry them through. And then you had guests who came out on fire and they had prepared stuff. And I think talk show hosts know what it takes to be a great talk show guest.
You're absolutely right. Because, you know, just to use a name that everybody knows, take Jay Leno. No matter who you are, when you interview Jay Leno, he's going to be a great guest. First of all, he's an entertainer. Second of all, he knows what a talk show host wants. So you're absolutely right. Those kind of guys are very, very good as guests. Of course, I'm no Jay Leno. But you're right. You're right. Once again, you're never wrong.
Yes.
You should go run the Knicks. They need someone who's never wrong. Because lately, they've been always wrong. I just woke up, man. I heard Stephen A. Smith's voice coming out of my neighbor's house.
He was despondent. He's absolutely despondent today.
Oh, gosh. It's nuts. I know nothing about the Knicks, but already I know today is a horrible day on the East Coast, I guess.
Right. Well, it's not bad if you're in Brooklyn.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Well, not to get into sports,
right,
but it turns out this is not about coming to New York. It's about coming to Madison Square Garden. There are young men who still want to be in New York, the number one market in the world, but they don't want to mess with Dolan, and they don't want to mess with Madison Square Garden,
yeah,
and things like that. But we're getting off the...
We sure are. Okay.
We're sitting in the afternoon talking sports.
I spent the whole first time you came on the show talking about your late night show because I was so fascinated with it and the evolution of it. And the one thing that I didn't get that deep into with you was you going back to stand-up. And I was reading about how you were a little despondent because you had a little reboot of the show. That didn't work out, mm-hmm, after a couple of years. And you said, I got to go back to my foundation. Tell me about that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you do some soul searching whenever you experience a hiccup in life. You do a little soul searching and figure out where you're at. And, I was a little down, but I was trying to figure out, everything happens for a reason, I believe. And I was thinking, like, so what was this moment about? And, you know, I realized that even though I only did that show for like a season and a half, so many incredible things went on that I would never want to change. Like I got the last interview with Prince, who was a wonderful friend and an incredible musician.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking at all the positives. And then I had to decide, so what do you want to do next? And my son had gone away to college. And I think when he was like 1 year old, I had done my last stand-up date, and I didn't want to be on the road. You know, I didn't want to be traveling around while my kid was growing up. I wanted to know his favorite color.
Yeah.
I wanted to be at every Little League game. I wanted to know his best friends. I didn't want to be at Yuck Yucks in Toronto,
right,
you know, every time something monumental happened in my son's life. So I came off the road, and I tried to do things that allowed me to stay in Los Angeles. But basically, now that he's in college, I'm sitting soul searching, and I'm like, the thing I love most in the world is being in a room with a bunch of people live. No standards and practices. You know, I don't have Les Moonves on the side telling me what I can't say. I wanted to go back to that, and I started going into clubs. And basically, more specific, George Lopez called me up one night, And he knew what I was going through. As a matter of fact, George has probably gone through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, I'm going to do this gig tonight. Why don't you go with me? And I went with him just to hang out as a friend, you know. And all of a sudden, George comes out in his little stand-up suit that he wears, you know, and he says, why don't you go on and bring me on? And as I walk away, he says, and do 10 minutes. I'm not ready yet. And it was a friend tricking another friend into doing something he knew that I needed. And I tell people all the time, stand-up saved my life, you know, because it just put me back in a place where I needed to be, of having something that I loved, having a goal that I could chase. And I hadn't done it in 20 years. All of a sudden, I'm back on doing stand-up around the country, and everything seems to fall in place. Now I'm doing stand-up. I just shot a special. I'm about to go into Coming to America 2. And as a matter of fact, Eddie Murphy's been popping into clubs. I think he wants to do it again. So at some point, maybe there'll be a Coming to America stand-up tour following the movie.
Ooh.
But we're in pre-production right now, getting all that stuff ready.
So if you don't mind me getting too heavy here, when you had the Arsenio Hall show, you were a national cultural phenomenon. You had done something that no African American had ever done. You were a kingmaker. Bill Clinton turned around his whole campaign on that show. So how hard is it emotionally to go from being the hottest thing in the country to just one of many stand-ups who's trying to find a gig?
Wow. You know, it depends on, you know, when I was a kid, they used to always say, find something you love and you'll never have to work. The one thing about stand-up, I found my place in life. I love making people laugh. And there's no higher form of it than stand-up. You, a glass of juice, a stool, and a mic. And to be honest with you, I got money. If I die and come back, I'll have money left over.
Right.
So God is taking care of me. You know, I don't have some of the problems that Hollywood can bring you that leave you broke. I've been a very logical, balanced man, and I've been blessed. So the bottom line is I can do what I love. And lately, it's been being a father and doing stand-up. I love doing it.
Yeah.
And I go out some nights. I'll call guys like Dane Cook, and we'll go hit a club some nights in Los Angeles for no money, because, you know, if you're a stand-up, that's what you do. You do it forever, whenever you can.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. So I know that you – do you talk about politics much? Because I think most people know you were the winner – on the fifth season of Celeb Apprentice. So you got to see our president up close and personal. I saw you tweeting a little bit about the Democratic debates last week. Do you have somebody on the Democratic side you're liking?
Well, you know, I'm the worst guy to talk to politics about, because I hate politics.
No.
I hate politicians. When I do my act, I call myself a Republicrat. I'm the guy in the middle who just doesn't trust any of them. When you have an election between Hillary and Donald Trump, I know them both. And Hillary and Donald Trump, that's like asking me who my favorite Menendez brother is, okay? it's horrible. I'm a Republicrat. I think that says it all.
Yeah, well, I couldn't vote for either one of them. And so, you know, my listeners knew. I was on the record of saying that, you know, I lean much further right, but I couldn't vote for Trump the first time around. I think, did you see things during the Celebrity Apprentice that made you in your wildest dreams think he could be president?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm one of those guys that was in the mix at that time around Mark Burnett and Donald Trump and the heads at NBC. And I actually thought that what they were talking about when they said, Mr. Trump's thinking about running for president again, I felt it was something they did around the fall whenever Apprentice was about to start up again.
Right.
And I thought it was something that brought publicity and brought attention and eyeballs to Donald Trump. And then when it's time to make a decision, you pull away and you say, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do another year of Celebrity Apprentice. And this time around, a few things went, you know, it was almost like the NBA atmosphere. Some things went on at NBC, And there was another artist that got more money than Donald Trump from NBC, and he actually got angry at them. And when you look back at what went on, it's not as much Donald Trump deciding that time to run as it was him being angry at NBC because he didn't get the amount of money he wanted for Celebrity Apprentice. And that made the decision. So that time around, instead of it being a publicity-seeking campaign,
right,
it was a presidential-seeking campaign, and he actually ran. I think it was one of the ladies on The Voice got more money than him, and he got angry when he heard about it behind the scenes. I don't know how public that is, but that was what made him angry, and that made him leave NBC and head for Pennsylvania Avenue.
Man, if getting angry at your employer is what it takes to be president, I'd be on my fifth term right now.
It worked for that reality host. I don't know if Julie Chen can turn it into a presidency.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Arsenio Hall is going to be at the Silver Reef Casino in Ferndale July 11th. You can get tickets at silverreefcasino.com. And Arsenio, I always love having you. And you know what? You lived up to the billing. You lived up to the intro, do you?
You know what? I really appreciate you, dude. Have a good afternoon. What's the temperature like up there?
It's gorgeous. It's high 70s today. It's going to be up in the mid-80s next week. It's going to be gorgeous when you come up here.
That's going to be incredible. I'll see everybody there. If you want to come, dude, there's always two tickets for you. And you're my favorite supersonic. So come on through if you want to. We're going to laugh, have a good time. If you haven't seen me live, you haven't seen me. It's a lot of fun. Come on in.
All right. Silver Reef Casino, Ferndale, July 11th. Tickets, silverreefcasino.com. Arsenio, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you, sir.
Take care of yourself, buddy.
All right. The legend, Arsenio Hall, joining us. You want to weigh in on any of this? The Online Trading Academy text line is 989-973. That's 989-973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.